The Anduril Fury combat drone rolling off the line at the Arsenal 1 facility in Pickaway County, Ohio, is a milestone worth sitting with. 557 days after Anduril announced plans for that factory, less than 2 years, the first autonomous fighter jet variant emerged from an American defense manufacturing facility. For context, the F-35 program from initial concept to first flight took 11 years. Anduril's timeline reflects both the company's startup culture and the degree to which the Pentagon has restructured its acquisition relationships with non-traditional defense contractors.
The Fury is an autonomous combat aircraft. It's designed to fly alongside manned fighters as a loyal wingman, potentially absorbing enemy fire or taking on missions that would put human pilots at risk. The fact that the first production unit came out of an Ohio factory rather than a legacy defense contractor's facility in California or Texas is itself a statement about the geography of the new defense industrial base. Anduril, founded by Palmer Luckey in 2017, has built this entire company in under a decade.
The SpaceX shares story is, frankly, one of the most striking in the market right now. 51% off the peak since mid-June. That's a company with a $300 plus billion valuation at peak. So we're talking about well over $150 billion in paper losses. Short sellers are piling on ahead of a massive lockup expiration in early August, when significant numbers of early employees and investors will be legally permitted to sell shares for the first time. Lockup expirations create a well-documented pattern of selling pressure, and the short sellers are betting that the expiration will accelerate the decline.
The NASA ISRO satellite story, NISAR, the joint U.S.-India Earth Observation Satellite, revealed that earthquakes in Venezuela shifted the ground by 2 feet in certain areas. 2 feet of surface displacement from seismic activity is significant enough to affect infrastructure, pipelines, and building foundations. The scientific value is in the satellite's synthetic aperture radar, which can measure millimeter-level surface deformation from orbit, that giving emergency managers and scientists data that would have required thousands of ground-based sensors to collect a generation ago.
And that Venezuela earthquake data loops back to the Venezuelan oil story in an interesting way. The Trump administration acknowledged collecting billions and billions. The president said $13 billion specifically from Venezuelan oil revenues, but gave genuinely vague answers about where the money went. The administration has had a complicated relationship with Venezuelan oil since waiving some sanctions to allow certain transactions, and the question of what happens to those revenues, who receives them, how they're accounted for, whether they flow to U.S. government coffers or somewhere else, is a legitimate oversight question that Congress is now actively pursuing.
The USTR Greer statement that forced labor tariffs on 60 nations won't hurt the U.S. economy is worth examining carefully. The tariffs are designed to exclude goods made with forced labor from U.S. markets, a policy with genuine moral grounding in the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act and its expansion to other countries. But the claim that tariffs on imports from 60 nations create no economic friction assumes that there are ready substitutes for every affected product category. For some categories, electronics components, certain agricultural inputs, those substitutes either don't exist yet at scale or cost significantly more.
The 24-nation 6G alliance the Trump administration is building as a counter to China's telecommunications infrastructure ambitions is a longer horizon story than it appears. 6G is at least a decade from commercial deployment, but the standards bodies and spectrum allocation processes that shape what 6G looks like are active now. China's success in influencing 5G standards through Huawei and ZTE was partly a function of having technical people in the room when standards were being written. Building a coalition of like-minded nations is the right response, but it requires sustained diplomatic attention across multiple administrations.